Harbour Street, written by Anne Cleves, read by Janine Burkett. Chapter 1. Joe pushed through the crowd. It was just before Christmas and the metro trains were full of shoppers clutching carrier bags stuffed with useless presents. Babies were left to scream in expensive buggies. People who'd been drinking early spilled out from office parties, stumbling down the escalators and onto trains. Youths used language Joe wouldn't want his children to hear. Today, though, he'd had no option about using the metro. Sal had been adamant that she needed the car. It was just him and his daughter. She was in the school choir, and there'd been a performance in Newcastle Cathedral, Carols by Candlelight, because even at 4 o'clock it was dark in the building. Beautiful singing that made him feel like crying. His boss, Vera Stanhope, always said that he was a romantic fool. Then out into the rush hour evening, and it was just starting to snow, so Jessie was excited all over again. She was a soloist and had hit all the right notes, so the choirmaster had given her a special mention at the end. Christmas was now only 10 days away, though she was too old to believe in Santa, but there was snow. Tiny little flakes twisting in the gusty wind like mini tornadoes. In the metro, he held her hand. They were standing because all the seats were taken. In the space by the door stood two young girls, hardly older than Jessie, but their faces orange with makeup and their eyes black with liner and mascara. Squashed beside them, two lads. He watched what was going on there and hated what he saw. The pawing and the groping. Vera also called him a prude. He wouldn't have minded so much if the encounter had been affectionate, but there was something unpleasant about the way the boys spoke to the lasses, putting them down for their lack of street cred, mocking. Joe thought he'd like to bring the girls into the police station, let Vera give them a pep talk about feminism. A woman's right to respect. The thought made him smile. He looked at the badge on the girls' blazers. One of the private schools in town. He and Sal had wondered about sending Jessie private. She was as bright as a button, and they had high hopes for her. Certainly university, maybe one of the grand ones. Watching the simpering and defensive girls, he wasn't so sure about the posh school now. The train pulled into the station. In the lights on the platform, he saw that it was snowing even more heavily, the flakes bigger, settling on the terraced roofs. A woman with a long coat got on and took a recently vacated seat further down the carriage. Joe had been eyeing it up for Jessie and felt an irrational antipathy towards the woman. She had silver hair and discreet makeup, the fitted coat reaching almost to the ground. Despite her age, she must be 70, there was something elegant about her. He thought she had money and wondered why she hadn't called a taxi instead of squashing into the metro with the rest of them. At the next station, a group of men filled a carriage. Suits and ties, briefcases. Loud voices talking about some sales conference. The mood he was in, Joe hated them too, for their brashness. The showing off. Every station, a shifting tide of people. But he and Jessie were squashed into a corner by the door now, and he could see nothing but the back of a fat man wearing a Newcastle United sweatshirt. No jacket. A Geordie hard man. The lights in the carriage flickered, and there was a moment of complete darkness. Somewhere, a young woman gave a small scream. The lights came back on, and the train pulled into a station. Partington, nearly the end of the line. The snow was an inch deep on the platform. Joe hoped Sal was home, the central heating on and the tea nearly ready. She'd talked about getting a tree. He'd have been happy with an artificial one. His mum had never bothered with the real thing. But Sal was like a kid at Christmas, buzzing with preparations and excitement. He imagined walking into the house and the smell of pine and something cooking. Wondered again why he'd thought this marriage, this family, might not be enough for him. He decided that they'd get a taxi home from Mardle Metro. Sal had said she'd come and pick them up, but he didn't want her driving in this weather. A taxi would cost a fortune all the way home, but it'd be worth it. The metro doors were still open, and he caught a brief glimpse of the passengers sitting opposite, saw that the cold air had blown.